translation. He also acknowledged the service of the devotees and vanquished their distress by his beautiful smile. The reflection of his face, decorated with earrings, was so pleasing because it dazzled with the rays from his lips and the beauty of his nose and eyebrows. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Devotional service to the Lord is very much obliging to him. There are many transcendentalists in different fields of spiritual activities, but devotional service to the Lord is unique. Devotees do not ask anything from the Lord in exchange for their service. Even the most desirable liberation is refused by devotees, although offered by the Lord. Thus the Lord becomes a kind of debtor to the devotees, and he can only try to repay the devotees' service with his ever-enchanting smile. The devotees are ever satisfied by the smiling face of the Lord, and they become enlivened. And by seeing the devotees so enlivened, the Lord himself is further satisfied. So there is continuous transcendental competition between the Lord and his devotees by such reciprocation of service and acknowledgement. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Jnanatam Randasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shichita Namano Vishtam Shtapitam Jena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Garamayam Daranti Swaparantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shtha Sri Rupam Sagaja Tam Sagana Ragana Tam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Ladita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dino Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sudha Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vinevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Desitarine Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Thank you kindly for this opportunity to give Srimad Bhagavatam class. I'm here primarily entirely for my own purification. So very much seeking the mercy and the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas that I may be the first listener in this class. But like this, we're reading a very, very beautiful part of the Bhagavatam. And this verse I just found incredibly... incredibly beautiful, and Prabhupada's purport is now one of my favorite purports that I've read recently. Because what we see here is we see the ultimate personal nature of Krishna. There's a very famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Yeyitamam Prapadyante Tamas Tataiva Bhajamyaham. Krishna says, as everyone surrenders unto me, I reward them accordingly. And this is a verse actually when I was initially started reading Bhagavad Gita, I couldn't make any sense of it whatsoever. I met devotees, I was attracted to devotees, I heard kirtan, I love kirtan. I like being at the temple, but they gave me the books and it made no sense. Nothing, I would read the book and I was very attracted to the books. I had this Bhagavad Gita being, and I'd read it every day, but nothing would go into my head. And then one time I heard this Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, and he was speaking on this verse, Yitamam Prapadjante Tam Sitaiva Bhajamyaham. As everyone surrenders unto me, I reward accordingly. And suddenly, just like a light bulb, it clicked, oh, Krishna's a person. And once you can understand that Krishna's a person and we have a relationship with him, and the whole process of Krishna consciousness is awakening that relationship, and a relationship is a two-way thing. You can't have a relationship with a wall. You can't have a relationship with just some vague energy. You have a relationship with a person. And once I realised that, then the Bhagavad Gita for me, then I could actually enter into it and start to understand it. And I'd read other things and it would start to make sense. Because before I was reading it, always trying to fit Krishna into my conception of what God was. And it was a very vague speculation. So by Prabhupada's mercy and the mercy of the Vaishnavas, then Bhagavad Gita becomes self-evident. Bhagavad Gita as it is. So today in this class, we're going to hopefully try and glorify the reciprocation and how Krishna acknowledges the service of his devotees and vanquishes their distress by his beautiful smile. So in the first line of the purport, Prabhupada makes a very, very incredible statement actually. He says, devotional service to the Lord is very much obliging to him. There's many theists around the world, many people who believe in God. But I think there's few who understand actually the inner nature of God. Because here Prabhupada describing that when one performs devotional service, Krishna himself becomes obliged to the devotee. The word oblige literally means willing to do favours or to help someone else. So this is a process of Krishna consciousness, is when we perform loving devotional service, and Krishna, he actually becomes indebted. And Prabhupada later in the purport, he says, thus the Lord becomes a kind of debtor to the devotees, and he can only try to repay the devotee's service with his ever-enchanting smile. So if we reflect on our own journey in Krishna consciousness, which is often a very healthy thing to do actually, to see where we've come from, where we are right now, and where we hope to be in the future. Because without this sort of introspection, then our spiritual life can become stagnant, you know. We don't go back to Godhead by accident, we have to put in some effort, and that effort is primarily internal work. We can tick all the boxes externally, but if we've not made that internal development, then after a while it becomes a little bit dry. So when we reflect on our own journey in Krishna consciousness, then I think it'll be the case for most devotees here. The reason we decided to practice Krishna consciousness with some sincerity and some seriousness is because we receive some reciprocation from the Lord. I know my own life, and I'm sure many devotees here can also think of some example when they're initially getting interested in spiritual life, they make some step forward and some magic happens. I see some nodding of the heads. When Krishna, he really makes himself evident, or in certain ways he reciprocates, and he very much steals your heart. You do something, one tiny little thing for Krishna, and he steals your heart, and then you want to give yourself more. And then we can reflect throughout our Krishna's conscious journey that there's been times, often it's when we, at least in my own life, we sort of feel like we're hitting some sort of wall. Things become dry, but we're really pushing. Then again, Krishna, he steps in and performs his magic. And so we see how actually our whole journey in Krishna consciousness is reciprocal. And then ultimately we're hoping also for reciprocation with Krishna in the end. We want, it's described that the devotee is, you know, Twamakin Chinagochara. The devotee is not desiring anything material. He's not wanting anything. Even it's described that he doesn't want liberation. He doesn't want anything like this. But what does the devotee want? You perform some service, whatever service it is, you want acknowledgement. You want to feel that Krishna has appreciated this service. And this is the incredible personal nature of Krishna consciousness. So many thousands upon billions of devotees, not just here, not just in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, but throughout the entire universe. And the spiritual world is full of devotees. The majority of living entities are devotees. And some are just dormant devotees. So being a devotee is our natural state. And we may feel, you know, I'm trying to do something for Krishna, but Krishna's got so many devotees. How is he going to appreciate me? How will he see what I do? This is the incredible personal nature of Krishna, that he has a unique relationship with every single living entity. And this reciprocation, it makes us feel special. Because ultimately we are special. often you perhaps hear from a mundane perspective, oh, everyone is unique, everyone is special. But this is actually very, very, very true in a spiritual sense, that we exist in an eternal relationship with Krishna. Described actually, Prabhupada writes in one purport, we exist for the sense gratification of God. There's a certain way which can please Krishna, which no one else can please Krishna. Therefore, every single living entity and every single devotee is very, very special. And so often we can find, if we are in the presence of an exalted devotee, one who is a representative of Krishna, then that same symptom is there. We also feel very special. If you listen to any Prabhupada memories, the same thing comes constantly. You know, Prabhupada could be maybe 1,100 devotees are at the airport to greet Prabhupada, and Prabhupada will just look at someone and they feel like everything just makes sense. Or Prabhupada will do such little things which make that devotee feel incredibly special. Because the spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, they also have this ability to appreciate someone for what they really are. So if we look at material relationships, Urdhva Muramada Shakam Prashutarham Avyam, this material world is it's a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So material relationships, this reciprocation is often needy, clingy. You can imagine you've been in some relationship with someone you know, and always they need some sort of reciprocation, because else they don't feel valid. They're always trying to get your attention. Even children can be like that, they want something. But we don't apply this material conception to spiritual relationships, because actually relationships are built upon reciprocation. Love means to serve. And to serve means to please. It means doing things for someone else. And Krishna, he follows the same rules. You know, we are trying to love, we're trying to serve, we're trying to please Krishna. What's Krishna trying to do? He's trying to love, he's trying to please, he's trying to serve his devotees. We read Bhagavad Gita. What is Krishna doing? Krishna's taking the position of Arjuna's chariot driver. Krishna likes to serve, because this is how love is exchanged, this is how love is developed. And ultimately, this is the highest pleasure. Rasa Vaisa, Krishna is the reservoir of all that pleasure, of all that exchange of mellows. And so he's... anything we see within ourselves is simply coming from him. Jaramadasa Yataha, everything comes from him. So when it comes to reciprocation, one thing we'll understand is that what we do one day in our devotional service, it may, in some way or other, Krishna may reciprocate, especially when you're new. You come, you start chanting, maybe you try and follow the four regular principles, or you do something, your first day you distribute some books, you can see magic happen. You feel a lot of reciprocation. But then if you continue trying to offer that simply that same level of service, the reciprocation is not going to be there. Because it's the nature of devotional service, it's always increasing. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. This ocean is always increasing. And ultimately Krishna wants more. So you do something, you surrender something. Even it's described that one gives up the thing which is most dear to him, then it qualifies him for eternal life. There's some verse in the Bhagavatam, I can't remember the actual verse. But it's true, if you give up the thing which is most dear to you, well then you've given it up. And so something else is more dear to you now. So you have to give that up. And something else is now more dear to you, so you give that up. So constantly Krishna wants more. Because it's a relationship, and relationships are built upon conquering the heart of another. And so the famous pastime is there. We think of one exalted devotee tries to conquer Krishna. The famous pastime is on Mother Yashoda. Krishna is being naughty, and she tries to bind him. Krishna's saying, I'm the Supreme Personality. You know, these The entire universe comes from, it's within my belly, and you think that you can bind me? It's not going to have it. But Mother Yashoda, she's very keen. She's very desperate to bind Krishna. And it's described actually as these different energies of Krishna. This feeling of him being Ishwara is being competed against the love he feels for his devotees. And their love is so strong, it overpowers this. And so this is going on. Mother Yashoda is trying very, very hard to bind Krishna, but always, of course, two fingers too short. But then what does Mother Yashoda do? She, of course, they live in a cowherd village. In cowherd villages, they got lots of ropes. So she uses all the ropes in her own house, but ultimately, again, it's not enough. But then she goes around all the other houses of the elderly gopis. And she asks them all, please come help me. I'm trying to bind Krishna. I'm trying to do what's completely impossible. The supreme lord of the entire universe is taking birth as my son. But I see him as my son, and he's being naughty. And I'm going to bind him. And therefore she asks, and together, they get all the ropes. And when Krishna sees the endeavor, then finally that love overpowers him and he allows himself to be bound. But the important lesson to learn from here, it's not on your own. It's collective. This, Ayendra Prabhu will give this example, this is Sankirtan. Kirtan, yes, you can sit, you can chant japa, you can do bhajan on your own. Is it going to bind Krishna? Is it going to conquer Krishna? Is it going to make Krishna indebted to you? If it's my own japa or my kirtan, definitely not. But Sankirtan, Samyak Kirtan, complete kirtan, the congregational chantings of the holy names, this is the process by which we can conquer Krishna. Because in this age, this process is imbued by the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And therefore, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, we engage in the process of Harinam Sankirtan. Of course, Harinam Sankirtan, you have to give your heart to the kirtan. You can't just expect by doing kirtan now and then, whenever you feel like it, oh, maybe I'll do a little kirtan. Kirtan takes different shapes, but our heart has to be there if we want to conquer. And like this, we understand that the way to conquer Krishna is through the mercy of the Vaishnavas. By serving with the Vaishnavas and also by serving the Vaishnavas. Krishna describes to Uddhava that, my dear Uddhava, you are more dear to me than even Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, the creator of this entire universe, who meditated for 100 celestial years, who got my darshan. No, Uddhava, you're my devotee, you're more dear to me than him. But not just Lord Brahma, even Lord Shiva, who's by his dance destroys the entire universe, still Uddhava, Krishna saying, you're more dear to me than him. And Krishna continues, even Lord Shankarshan, my own brother, you're more dear to me than him. And then finally he says, even the goddess of fortune, he says, my dear Uddhava, you're more dear to me than the goddess of fortune. And ultimately Krishna says, even you're more dear to me than my own self. So what Krishna has done here, he's revealed his weakness. We want to approach God. How do we have the qualification to approach God? Trying to knock on the door of Buckingham Palace and going to see the king is probably not going to work. But Krishna is given the secret that actually Krishna is completely overpowered by the love of his pure devotees. And for this reason, His Grace Burijan Prabhu gave a very, very simple yet sublime formula for success in Krishna consciousness. You'd like to hear? Very, very simple. He said, if you want Krishna, you want to perfect this life, there's only one thing you got to do. One thing, and it's very, very simple. Simply, You must melt the heart of a Prema Bhakta. You must find a pure devotee and melt their heart. Then Krishna completely becomes indebted to you. Because the pure devotee, those who are serving Krishna so dearly, Krishna is saying they're more dear to me than even myself. Therefore, how can Krishna not reciprocate? Even we see Sudama comes. He doesn't want to go to Krishna to ask for anything, but his wife, she's nagging him. Please, Krishna's your friend. Please, we need some. We can barely survive here. Go ask Krishna. And Sudama finally relents. And he thinks, well, I cannot go see Krishna. You know, he's the Supreme Lord. He's my friend, but also he's a king right now. So I should bring something. But we have nothing. So his wife, she begs from local Brahmana families and gets some chip rice. So many of us understand the pastime. Sudama arrives at Dwarka. They exchange greetings. Krishna washes his feet. And then Krishna starts to see, what does my friend have? And Sudama doesn't want to give it. But then Krishna, he steals it. He steals his chip rice, takes a morsel, and then Rukmini Devi, she stops him. She says, you know, if you eat more than this, then the entire universe will be full. But then when Sudama returns home, and he sees this incredible opulence which Krishna has given him, some of the acharyas, they comment that Sudama, he gave Krishna something which he didn't even have. He didn't even have any chip rice. He got something out with of himself to give. And so Krishna's like, I just can't reciprocate. He's given something which he didn't even have. But I, you know, the three worlds are situated within me. How could there be something I don't even have? So we'll not be satisfied with the opulence of Lord Brahma. So like this, the path to Krishna is through those who are very, very dear to Krishna. And therefore, there's many examples we see. It's hinted at in the Bhagavad Gita. It's made somewhat clear in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's self-evident that if we want Krishna, we have to go through the devotees. And there's some very, very beautiful prayers. One particular stood out for me regarding receiving the mercy of the devotees. And this is given in the sixth canto with the pastime of Ritrasura and his battle with Indra. I mean, it's such an incredible scene. I sort of wish some of these Marvel films may take inspiration from the Bhagavatam. I'd love to see that on stage, but at this point in the battle, the demigods are looking somewhat superior, and the demons they're fleeing, and they're running. And Ritrasura, who is, we understand he's a saintly devotee, but he's in the body of a demon, and so he's on the side of the demons, and he's chastising heavily these demons who are running away. He said, "Do you not know religious principles? It's better to die on the battlefield than run away like a coward." But still, they're running, And as they're running away, then the demigods are killing them from behind. So then he gets even more angry, Ritrasura, and he starts chastising the demigods. He says, "What good is this? These people are running away from you. Still, you're killing them. They've come." It's very heavy. He says, "You come like the stool from their mother. They're taking birth uselessly. They're in a very demoniac species of life. But why you must kill them?" And so he starts retaliating and starts killing the demigods. And Indra gets very angry. He sees this. So he throws his club at Ritrasura. Ritrasura easily catches the club and smashes it back at Indra, knocking his elephant out, Airavata. And like this, Indra then faces Ritrasura. And Ritrasura is just, he's looking at him with like disgust in his eyes. He's saying, "You know, you've killed all these personalities. You've killed a brahmana. You've killed your own spiritual master. You've killed my brother. Simply for your sense gratification." It's completely pathetic. But now, Lord Vishnu is still on your side. You have this weapon, this thunderbolt, which has been empowered by the bones of the Dichi, and therefore this will kill me. So come on then, take your shot. He said, when you kill me, simply you'll burn up the remainder of my karma and I'll be with the Supreme Lord. So come on then. And Indra, he's feeling a bit nervous because previously he threw his club at him and Rudrasura very quickly just picked up his club and chucked it back. But Rudrasura has that perception to understand when his time is ready for him to leave. And so he stands there in the battlefield and he makes these prayers. I'm sure Ananta Chittaprabhu knows these prayers. Myself, I don't. One line I learnt. Aham hare tava pare kamulam dasanu dasa bhavitasmi buya. He says, oh my Supreme Lord, Lord Hari, when will I again become the servant of the servant of those whose only shelter is your lotus feet? And it's just, it's immensely poetic. You're standing on this battlefield, you're facing your death, and simply he's begging to be the servant of the servant of those whose only shelter is the lotus feet of the Lord, because then he will constantly be able to remember the Lord. And from this we can even learn, yes, we want to approach Krishna, the path is through the devotees, but what's very interesting is that the position of a devotee, according to Krishna himself, is more relishable than the position of Krishna. I was on recently distributing books. I met one very, very interesting man. He was about 20 years old and was training to be an Orthodox Christian priest. His family wasn't at all interested, but you know, you've been taking some baptism, got a new name. It's sort of similar to, you know, when you meet some devotee. And he was very philosophically very on point, a lot of things you were saying. We had a very nice conversation. And he quoted this one line for me from one of the Christian saints. It's a famous quote from Christian theology. He said, God became man so that man may become like God. God became man in the form of, to understand Jesus is an incarnation of God, to show us how to become like God. In the sense, not to become God, but to become godly. And so it's a profound statement. It's a profound aspect of theology. And then afterwards, I was thinking about it in my head a lot, and I realized that we have something much higher than that. Because ultimately, in our theology, we see that God himself became a devotee so that we may become a devotee. Because Krishna himself is saying that I can't even appreciate how beautiful I am. Only my devotees can appreciate how beautiful I am. Therefore, I've got to come in the form of a devotee to see. You know, he's saying, I can't experience the pleasure which comes from serving me. And this is why Rudrasura, this is why so many Vaishnavas are praying to be the servant of those whose only shelter is the lotus feet of the Lord. Because there's no higher position, actually. You know, we may think, oh, I want to be the most close, intimate, personal servant of Krishna. You know, I want to be right there on the altar. You know, Srimati Radharani, you can move aside. I'm going to serve Krishna now. It's complete bogus. Prabhupada even said, there's one statement I always struggle, I never quite understand, Prabhupada said, but this is quoting, we heard it in class a couple of months ago. To want to be a gopi is mayavadi. Because das, das, and udas. We're thinking Krishna. Even Akrura, he says, Krishna, you're the only real object of my love. So Krishna is the object of our love. Krishna's pleasure. We exist for the sense gratification of God. What's the verse? Admendriya priti vancha. Yes. And yes, lust, enjoy your own senses, prem, satisfy the senses of Krishna. And so who can please Krishna the most? Topmost devotee, Srila Prabhupada gave class yesterday. He was saying, Srimati Radharani is the topmost bhakta. She can please Krishna the most. And who can assist her the most in her service? Well, she's got some of the most incredible devotees who are assisting her in her service. And like this, we simply want to assist those who are assisting those or serving those or serving those or serving those who are serving Krishna. 100 times removed. And even it's interesting, I was hearing Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. He was describing simply, I want Dasyaras, servitorship. Jaya Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaki. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was describing, well, if the Vaishnava is engaged in some other service, then what can I do? I'll follow the instructions and the orders of the Vaishnavas. But Trinadapi Sunichinantarodapi Sishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtanya Siddhahari doesn't just mean being humble in this material world. People insult us, people are mean to us, and we bow our head meekly. Ultimately, this prayer given by Lord Chaitanya, this is true in the spiritual world as well. And this is why Uddhava, Krishna is saying, Uddhava, you're more dear to me than my own self. What's Uddhava praying for? Uddhava is praying to be a blade of grass. So even in our spiritual constitution, we should simply aspire to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. If the Vaishnava is engaged in some other service, then that's simply by their mercy. So to come back to Prabhupada's purport, Prabhupada writes, so the devotees are ever satisfied by the smiling face of the Lord and they become enlivened. And by seeing the devotees so enlivened, the Lord himself is further satisfied. So there is a continuous transcendental competition between the Lord and his devotees by such reciprocation of service and acknowledgement. So this, ultimately the spiritual relationship is constantly growing. We've discussed how conquering Krishna requires a greater and greater endeavor. More and more service requires sankirtan, requires collective effort. But as we surrender more, as we serve more, then Krishna reveals himself more. He smiles more. Therefore we want to serve more. And this love, it grows and it grows and it grows. So I just wanted to read one verse. This is, it's a verse from Srila Rupa Goswami quoted in Adi Lila chapter 4. For those who are interested, 4.1.3.1. And it's quoted from Dana Kelly Kamodi, this drama written by Srila Rupa Goswami. It's a mind-blowingly beautiful verse. I just wanted to share. Viburapi kalayan sadabi vridim guru rapi gauravacharya yavihina muhura pachita vikrima pishudo jayati muradvisha radhika anuragaha. All glories to Radha's love for Krishna, the enemy of the demon Mura. Although it is all pervading, it tends to increase at every moment. Although it is important, it is devoid of pride. And although it is pure, it is always beset with duplicity. So Srimati Radharani, her love for Krishna is all-pervading, yet her love is growing. It makes no sense. If you try and understand it, it makes no sense. But ultimately, this is what it is. The love is all-pervading, but it is ever-increasing. Although it is important, it is devoid of pride. And although it is pure, it is always beset with duplicity. And so, we may not be able to, myself definitely, in no way qualified or able to understand this loving relationship, but this is ultimately the ultimate basis of reality. This is the ultimate resting place of this entire cosmic manifestation of our entire existence is his all-expanding love. And therefore, Yes. Therefore, we pray that our Krishna consciousness never becomes static. This is the Krishna consciousness movement. We're not moving. It means that we're decreasing. So this love we have for Krishna, our surrender to Krishna, our endeavor, our absorption, these things constantly have to increase. And as they increase, Krishna reciprocates more. And as Krishna reciprocates more, the devotees become enlivened, and therefore we give more. And so this is the spiritual dynamic. So perhaps I'll stop here and ask if there's any comments, corrections, questions from the devotees. Yes, Ananta Chitta Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for your presentation. Can you explain the last line of this?
No.
Although it is...
I'm not qualified to explain this last line. Please, ask the... Jai Krishna Prabhu can speak, perhaps.
I mean, so my doubt is, it is always beset with duplicity. It should have been free from duplicity, right?
This is far beyond my qualification or adhikar to speak, but it's what Srila Rupa Goswami says. This love, ultimately Krishna's pleasure is the supreme life of Srimati Radharani. In a certain way she becomes angry, or she won't speak to Krishna. All these things are increasing dadanandam bhurivardhanam. So it's the purest love in its purest form. It's the ultimate essence of love. But in the exchange of medals, then there's some duplicity there. But perhaps some of the senior Vaishnavas are qualified to speak on this. I'm definitely not. Prayojana Prabhu.
Prabhupada, he used to like teasing children.
Yes.
And then they get angry. And then still he take it away. And it's a very nice thing to do, you know, even offering flowers. Yeah. You know, you just say, the smile, of the child with the mother is a reciprocation of satisfaction. And also the mother becomes satisfied when the child is satisfied. It's a natural thing. And everybody goes, kuchi kuchi ku, to bring a smile. So it's a natural thing. You know, nature, yeah. Whatever it is. Okay.
I was hearing one pastime. This was in Juhu, in the early days when Prabhupada was there. There was one. She was a young girl at that time, and every day she would go, after Prabhupada was giving darshan, then she'd be there and Prabhupada would give her one sweet. But sometimes he'd give her like a piece of idli or something. And she'd be standing there waiting, and Prabhupada would make her wait for the whole class, then give her the sweet. But it's because... It's true. When we have a very formal relationship with someone, it's always very humble, very submissive, very sweet, always saying the nice things. But when relationships become more intimate, then you see with Krishna and Rukmini, you know, Krishna wants that particular fieriness. But of course, Rukmini's got a different nature to Srimati Radharani, but she melts Krishna's heart in a different way. But ultimately, this rasa requires stimulation. Again, in the Nectar of Devotion, it's described there's these different bhavs. Prabhupada translates them as, you know, existential ecstasy, constitutional ecstasy. These words which are just completely mind-blowing, but in simple terms, is you have what's known as your sthayi bhav, your basic relationship with Krishna, whether it's Dasya Ras or, you know, Vatsalya Ras, etc. You have a relationship, But then there's all these different stimulations for that relationship. For instance, a mother has a relationship with the child. That relationship is there, but when the child crawls near the edge of a cliff, the mother, her maternal feelings become intensified as the child is in danger. Or if she sees the child's shoes in that different way. So all these, the love is not static. You can't just, again, not to dismiss Christianity, but often you hear God is love. It's a nice statement. What does it mean? It's very, love is not just some vague, all-encompassing warmth. You know, you don't just exist in like an embrace with God. Love is active. Love is service. Love is, in its highest sense, love involves duplicity, but it's completely pure. So, Jai Premanavar Prabhu.
Govinda Maharaj, question. He said, Maharaj, how do we, Guru Maharaj, how do we get rid of duplicity? And he said, you can't really, he said, you got to be duplicious, otherwise you can't get rid of. You can't become Krishna conscious. He said, you got to be duplicious towards Maya. So even as devotees, you know, he was saying, you can't, unless you're duplicious, you can't overcome the material energy. So you got to be duplicious with Maya. So yeah, I just mentioned that.
Thank you.
Use duplicity in Krishna's service to overcome duplicity, ultimately.
Yeah. Thank you. Is Damodar Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu. My question is about Vitrasura. He was like a demon in a demon's body, but he was a devotee. So I'm just wondering about, like, is his general like activities, are they those of a demon, or are they like a natural devotee?
Everyone's got a particular nature. He's on a battlefield, you know, smashing demigods left, right and centre, and like standing on them and things. So there's some demoniac tendencies, but at his heart he's a devotee. And so he never, you know, ultimately he never forgets his position. He understands, okay, I'm in a particular body right now, I've got a particular nature. And so we can learn a lot from that, actually, appreciating that, yeah, I'm in this situation, I may not be, you know, Rupa Goswami. And so if I pretend to be Rupa Goswami, it's not going to go very well for myself, for those people I'm pretending with. I've got certain desires, etc. But nonetheless, I am not these desires. I am not this body. I am not this conditioning. So it's here right now, and until I can actually transcend it, I've got to cope with it. I've got to know what my weaknesses are. I've got to stay away from my temptations. But these things are not me, because ultimately I'm Krishna's. So he had some demoniac activities, but he never lost consciousness of him being a devotee. Thank you. Yeah, I think just Jai Krishna and then Vasili.
Just regarding Damodar's question, we were just reading yesterday that sometimes when a devotee is not in a situation like where it might be like a godly situation like Jat Bharat or Rishabdev, they carry on their activities as normal, but internally they're still devotees. So they might be in a situation externally with the body, they might not be kind of godly, but internally they're devotees, and they might externally carry on kind of being non-godly. The other thing is just a thought, correct me if I'm wrong, regarding duplicity. So Srimati Radharani is always anxious to see Krishna with a pure love, but the surroundings that she has sometimes, Purnamasi or Bhimanyu, they don't want Radharani to be with Krishna. So therefore sometimes they have to act in duplicity so that somehow or another they can get towards Krishna. Yeah. So just a little thought.
Thank you so much for
Hare Krishna.
If Sankirtan is more powerful in attracting Krishna's mercy than japa, why is it that we take a vow to chant 16 rounds of japa every day, but we don't take any particular vow in Sankirtan?
It's a very important question. I don't know. I definitely don't want to speculate before Srila Prabhupada. He knew what was best for us. But Shivaram Maharaj, he's got one book, Chant More. He writes there, you know, if we're not doing kirtan, sankirtan, then what do we have of being able to chant the names purely? Because every morning we understand there's 10 offenses to the holy name. You know, and chanting is not like, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to wake up super early, I'm going to have my favorite bead bag and I'm going to chant and I'm going to focus and I'm going to hear every mantra and I'm going to conquer Krishna. No, chanting, His Holiness Karamba Karamaraj, he says there's two parts to chanting. There's your endeavor. So yeah, you should wake up early. You should be in a nice clean place. You should have enough rest. You should be attentive. And that's your reaching out. But then the holy name is completely independent. The holy name, Krishna can do what he wants. You can't force Krishna to appear in your tongue. But then if Krishna is merciful, you're the mercy of the Vaishnavas, in some way if you've tried to conquer Krishna, then the holy name will appear in your japa. And the way to achieve this is by congregational chanting of the holy names. But perhaps if any other Vaishnavas have some insight into this, or if we should personally, if we should take some vow, you know, every day we do something. Yes.
Also, it's been related to me that when you don't feel like chanting, that's the time to chant. That's because that's a glimmer of your endeavor. It's the only time. But when you don't want to chant, you must chant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Try. Thank you so much. Yes. Yes, Mati.
I believe you mentioned there are more devotees than not. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And what makes a devotee? Because I didn't really believe that.
But if you, the majority of living entities are not in the material world. The majority of souls are in their eternal relationship with Krishna. So even it's described as ekpad bhuti or tripad. This, of course, mathematics doesn't quite apply to the infinite spiritual world, but one part is this material world and three parts are the spiritual world. The spiritual world is full of devotees. So we're in the majority. We may think we're walking down the street with, you know, a dhoti or a sari, thinking that we're the strange ones, but actually we are in the spiritual reality, which is, this is like one little corner. This entire, all these material universes, like one little corner of this, of the spiritual sky. Then here, okay, perhaps we're in the minority, but overall we're very much in the majority. So that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Shri Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Shri Bhagavatam ki, Itta Gopremanandi. Antakuti Vaishnava.